You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
All right, the title of today's message is Lion Tamer, and I'm going to go back into Daniel. I'm basically dealing with men in perspective in the Bible, but I'm going to go back into Daniel today, and I don't know if you guys, you know, I think sometimes we assume, well, people read the Bible. People don't read the Bible. And I'm going to make a suggestion right up front that today or tonight or sometime this week, you go home and just find the book of Daniel and read it. Just start from beginning to end and read it. It's not going to take you but a few minutes. It's not very long. It's only a few chapters long. And I'm telling you guys, if you'll just read this stuff, you'll realize there's some amazing things that happen in here, and it's a great encouragement. And you start saying, if God can do this for these people, he can do something for me. And I'm going to take a slice out of this thing, and if you go home and read it, you'll get the whole perspective. There was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. This king, you go through and see what happens to him. There's another king, Belshazzar. This guy in chapter 5 makes this feast, and if you've ever heard about the term, the handwritings on the wall, you know where that comes from? Out of Daniel. We use that stuff every day. Oh, man, the handwritings on the wall for that guy, he's about to lose his job. That's exactly what happened to this king. He threw this big party with 1,000 of his friends and his concubines and wives and all this stuff, and he thought he'd be cute. They're drinking wine, having a good time. So he says, well, go get the gold goblets and all the stuff that we took out of that temple in Jerusalem when my dad or whoever it was got all that stuff when we conquered Jerusalem and bring that in here. And then they started drinking out of that. And all of a sudden a hand appears and writes on the wall, many, many tekel upharsin, which means you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and this guy is dead. I mean, it was not the right thing to do at the party, obviously. So that guy dies, another king comes along, and if you look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 30, it says, that night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, there's really no mention here of this Darius guy, but all of a sudden, Belshazzar's dead, and Darius becomes the king. And I'm going to pick up in chapter 6 of Daniel with verse 1. And it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. So he set up these guys. Satraps were basically just princes of these areas. They divided up the whole kingdom. And he said, well, there's one over each of these sections, about 120 sections. So he sets these satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, he picked three governors. He's just being a wise delegator, administrating his empire. And over these, he picked three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. So he's got some accountability, some delegation, which is wise, set up. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, it says. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. The king noticed Daniel, and he's a new king, and he's picked 120 guys. Somehow he picks these princes, and then over those he puts these three guys. But something about Daniel again stands out, and he says, you know what? I think I'm going to put him over the whole deal. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some fault against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now, I don't care who you are, where you work, if the second you get promoted, somebody feels demoted, and there can be a stir in an office and say, well, who does he think he is? Or who does she think she is? What'd she do? Or who'd she sleep with? You say, well, that's never said. Yeah, that's said. They think something's up. Why did they get promoted instead of me? And I, you know, it's over this and that. We got all kind of categories. But these guys, they're princes over whatever, they're governors over whatever. It's not enough. They go, you know what? Who is this Daniel guy? They knew who he was. They knew where he had come from. And this guy had been interpreting dreams and getting promoted throughout all these kings' lifetimes. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now listen to how tight this Daniel guy is. They could find no charge or fault. They couldn't find anything on this guy because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." This guy is so committed, so godly, so faithful. The only place they can snag him is in regard to his relationship with God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king. They all had this big meeting and come into the chambers there before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever." Verse 7, now this is what they're saying to the king. All the governors of the kingdom. Now they're lying right off the bat because Daniel didn't write this because it would have condemned him. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, what in the world is this about? I mean, you know this is some kind of plot and conniving because they're coming up with some new statute, some law to add. I mean, we got government agencies in this town, in this country, who just dream up laws. You think, what is this about? Well, these guys had no other agenda here but to come up with something that would snag Daniel. Now, they knew Daniel. They knew his life. They knew his commitment. They knew his lifestyle. They knew the patterns of his life, what he did every day. And they knew within 30 days, and they didn't need that, really. They needed like 2 days, but they just said, well, let's make it a 30-day deal, that no one can petition any god or any man for 30 days except you, O king. And if he does, he's cast in the den of the lions. Now, verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter," which meant when a king, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, when he signed it into law, he couldn't change it. No one can change it. It was irrevocable, irreversible, unchangeable. It was done. So they get this guy to sign it. "Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." Now, verse 10. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," and guys, I'm telling you, there's so much encouragement in here. You think, I'm doing the right thing, nobody knows it, nobody cares. Let me tell you something. At some point, you got to do the right thing because it's the right thing. You say, but I'm not getting any credit for it. It's the right thing. Nobody notices. It's the right thing. If I do the right thing, it could cost me my job or my life. In this case, his life. It's just the right thing to do. You don't have anything to do but the right thing to do. So he waits till the king signs it. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home. Immediately, he went home. And in his upper room, now these details are important, in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, in the morning, the noon, and at night, like he had been doing all along. Now, if you want to find character, look for people who don't do what they do just when somebody's looking. Look for people and what they do when nobody cares, nobody notices. That's just who they are day in, day out. You know why this decree got put into law, why they all thronged before the king, why they wanted to get this thing written and signed? Because they knew every single day Daniel was in his house praying 3 times a day toward Jerusalem to his God, like clockwork. They had him. And they said, all we got to do is get a law and say if anybody petitions God or anybody else to get thrown to the lions, we got him just like that. They had to devise a system that was tied to this guy's devotional life to snag him. Now, why did they know that it was a sure deal? They knew his character was such that he's not going to stop praying just because you threatened him with death. And they'd have him dead because who's going to stop a lion? Nobody can tame a lion, especially when they're hungry and you're thrown to them. So he opens his windows toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He did what he always did. Now, I don't want to go off on this. I've done this one before, but let me tell you something. This man knew he was about to get caught and thrown to the lions. And in the midst of that pain and that stress and that circumstance, he prayed and gave God thanks. And in the New Testament, it's put this way, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This man was about to be fed to the lions. And some of you are about to be fed to the lions in your job, in your home, in your marriage, with your kids, legally, financially, whatever the category is, you know what's coming. And God says, and what these men of old have done, and what works is you get down on your knees somewhere and you say, you know what, God, no matter what comes, I praise you and I thank you because I trust you and nobody's ever taken care of me like you, so why would we change now? I'm back and you're it, and no matter what happens, I'm going to follow you. Consistency, commitment. He didn't say, well, I'll leave the windows closed today so nobody can see me. I'll hide. No, he said, it's what I've always done. I'm going to keep doing consistently what I've always done. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Here they all gather around his house and go, oh, there he is. We found somebody breaking the law. He'd been set up and he knew it. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. And they start reminding the king, and these guys are in a heap of trouble. And let me tell you something. You do not want to be in this category. And this is for the sake of people in an office or any situation where somebody's out to get you and you know it. You do the right thing and let God worry about them. Because you work long enough in a situation, you think, well, somebody's over there bad-mouthing, yakking, talking about me, trying to put me down. Everybody knows it if that's what's going on. You have someone to defend you. This stuff comes around. It really is true. What goes around somehow comes around. And you don't need to seek vengeance. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I'll repay. And frankly, you don't want to have happen to people what goes on. I mean, when somebody goes after one of God's children, he takes care of it. You don't have to take care of it. And somehow in God's economy and the scheme of things, this stuff goes around and you just wait and watch long enough, something happens. And that person keeps yakking about you, they start yakking about somebody else and it gets them tossed out on the street. You say, well, it's not happening fast enough. Just give it time. You do the right thing. So they go before the king, and they said, have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, well, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which is not altered. So they answered and said before the king, well, that Daniel, and I think it's great, that's what the scripture says, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. Now, if you're a leader in any situation, you better pray that God will help you be wise as a snake and as harmless as a dove. Everybody in this room's a leader. You're leading somebody. Don't make rash decisions. Don't make decisions in anger. And don't let somebody box you in and corner you. Stop, think, listen, assess, and say, Father, I don't see everything that's going on here, but you do, so show me what I'm missing. Because this man had condemned the guy that he preferred over everybody in the kingdom to death. The king was greatly displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Here is the king of the whole country trying to do everything in his power to figure out some loophole, some way around Daniel being fed to these lions. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it's the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. I mean, what you gonna do? Sun's going down. We got this guy supposed to be fed the lions. You better do it. So the king gave the command. And they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, and I think this is unbelievable. Whether this king believed or not yet, listen to what he says. The king looks at Daniel and says this, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. The king knew that about Daniel. He knew there was something about Daniel and something about Daniel's commitment and the way that he had seen and heard that this God had taken care of Daniel continually. He had a reputation. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. So the king seals this thing. Then they all get around and say, we want to do it too. They were not letting anything happen where Daniel could get out. This tomb, basically, what it would end up being, what they were hoping it would be, is sealed by not only the king, but all his lords, so nothing could be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, couldn't eat, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Couldn't eat, didn't want any entertainment, couldn't sleep. You know why? Because a buddy was in trouble. And it's funny how somebody at work or in your life can be in trouble. And I'll tell you how you know you really care about somebody is when they're in trouble, you're in trouble. And their pain is your pain. The Bible describes this as you weep with those that weep. You rejoice with those that rejoice. And when somebody's rejoicing their win, it's your win. Their pain, it's your pain. Their loss, it's your loss. You feel with them. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. If you slow down, and I recommend this, don't just read the Bible and go, oh, well, I read through Daniel. That's what he said to do. I'm glad that's over. Slow down. Read it. Think about it. Think about the implications. What's going on? What are they doing? Why would a king get up early in the morning and go rushing off to a den of lions? What good is it going to do? The guy's dead before you hit the ground. And especially, why would he go, even with a lamenting voice, cry out anything? I mean, what's a dead man going to hear? There's a little bit of faith here thinking, you know what? If he's alive, he can hear me. How do you survive all night with a bunch of lions? This guy has some faith in Daniel's God through Daniel, thinking, you know, maybe he did deliver him. He cries out, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And there's a moment of silence that seems like an eternity till the response comes back. He cries out a question, and everybody's listening. Then Daniel said, there's a voice that comes out of that lion's den, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him, and he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury was found on him. He didn't have a scratch on him. He had been sleeping with the cats. And that sounds like a horrible thing to me. But anyhow, no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Now let me pause here just a minute. You say, well, Richard, I believe in God. My wife died. My husband died. My kid died. My dad, my mama died. I got fired. I did the right thing. I got fired. And it's interesting that in Hebrews 11, this is mentioned, that there were men delivered from the mouths of lions and from fire and all these kind of things. And people read that and say, if you just had enough faith, you know what? If you just had enough faith, then God would deliver you. And what I recommend to you is that you go over there and read Hebrews chapter 11 and read the whole chapter. Because the first half, boom, boom, it's all this stuff, lions and all these things. But to get down to the second half, it's the same people mentioned that had faith were sawn in two. It doesn't turn out great for everybody just because they have faith. Your faith may cost you your life. Your faith may get you cut to pieces. But guys, it's not about this side. It's about that side. And it's not about impressing anybody or doing anything here. It's about doing the right thing in his eyes and being faithful and committed and saying, God, if you deliver me, great. If you don't, I'll still trust you. I got nowhere else to go. I will stand no matter what happens. And you go back and read the early history of Christianity. Nero was one of the guys who would take Christians and, to light his parties, would cover them in tar, shove a spear up through the middle of them, where they were impaled on a spear, and would burn them to light his parties. Now, where did faith get them? It may be a tough way to live and to die, but I'll tell you what, it's a great way to be welcomed home. I'd rather live and die in Jesus' name. It'd be a disaster, but at least get there and say, I was faithful, than to skirt the issue. It is better to obey than it is to stay. And you may be safe, but it's a sorry way to live if it's not where God wants you. And see, Daniel was threatened and thrown to the lions, but he did the same thing, was consistent, even if it cost him his life. So let me read you the rest of this before we go back. And this isn't pretty, but here's what happens. My God sent his angel, shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent, and I have done no wrong before you, no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command. Now, these guys all gathered around him, had something written, some command written out. The king starts giving commands now. He's had about all this he wants. The king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel. All these guys who had plotted against Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever hit the bottom of the den. The lions who had been tamed all night with one guy to fight over and had left him alone, they start throwing these guys in the lion's den, and they didn't even have a chance. They were toast before they hit the ground. These lions were coming up out of that den, ripping them to pieces before they ever landed on the floor. You say, well, what could Daniel have come up with worse than that? I don't know. That was the king's doing there. Then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Do the right thing. And if you go over some time and read 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, it describes another lion. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, let me tell you something. He's a real lion, and he can really devour you. But I know a lion tamer, and I can't, but he can. See, Daniel didn't tame those lions. The angel of the Lord did. And you, because of Jesus and his life, death, burial, resurrection, that blood that was shed, you have authority and all power given to you. And when the devil comes along, you say, you know what? You got teeth, you got noise, but I got Jesus. And you can't touch me unless I allow you to. And I say in Jesus' name, Lord, I resist you. The verse before this says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you for these moments that we share. I thank you for these people that are here. And Father, so many times, the long haul, the day after day, to be a Daniel, Lord, is a great challenge. Be consistent, to be faithful, to be trusting, to be so committed that people who try to ensnare us and trap us have to use our own commitment to you to do it, Lord. And this guy prayed three times a day, Lord, let us be a praying, committed people. Lord, I thank you that no matter how it turns out, it's still better to trust you and obey than it is to protect ourselves or rescue ourselves, Lord, and try to figure out our own way. God, there are people under the sound of my voice who have tried all their lives up to this point to figure it out on their own, to do it their own way, to be good, to try to deserve your love, to try to perform for you, to try to write their own ticket. And maybe today, for the first time in their life, they realize and would say, God, I've been religious. I even go to church. I teach. I give money. I do all these things. But I don't know you this way, God. I don't love you. I wouldn't lay my life down. And I just now understand that you laid your life down for me. And the only way I'm going to deserve or have heaven is to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. And I come empty-handed. And I want to walk away with this gift of eternal life that you offer and that Jesus lived, died, was buried, and raised from the dead to pay for. I claim the forgiveness of sins that's offered, and I thank you for the hope and the promise of not just eternal life, but abundant life between here and heaven. And I receive that gift. I ask you to come live in me and through me to change my life, my world, my family, my workplace, my neighborhood, everything, Father. Work in and through me for your honor and glory. God, we love you. And I pray that you'd help us understand and see through these lives of people that lived so long ago that you haven't changed a bit, and that we can trust you, and that the same God who delivered Daniel can and does live within us as your children. And we pray that we'd see that happen today and in the days ahead, as in the days of old. We love you, God. We thank you so much for loving us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.